The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
This week on Dueling Review, we take a look at Black Widow number 1, written by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee, with art by Chris Samnee. Shield's Most Wanted, the Eisner Award-winning team of Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are taking Black Widow on the lam. Natasha has spent years gathering secrets, and when some of the darkest ones begin mysteriously going public, no one is safe. With her betrayed former Confederates at S.H.I.E.L.D. on her heels, and a lifetime of training and ingenuity at her disposal, Natasha's out for answers in a knockdown, drag-out tale of action and espionage. Hidden enemies, old friends, and unusual allies collide, and all eyes are on Black Widow. The chase is on. Welcome to Dueling Reviews. I'm Stephen Schleicher. Matthew Peterson joins me again this week.
Hello.
What is going on with you?
Nothing much.
Well, let us talk about Black Widow number 1, out this week, from Marvel Comics. Brand new, very highly anticipated for me because it's got Chris Samnee art, which always feels so, I don't know, so full of action and energy and life. Mm-hmm. And in this case, in this issue, which there's not a whole lot of speaking lines. Okay.
Yeah, this issue is just a long action sequence.
It is. It really is. This is like, if this were a movie, this is your first 5-minute giant chase scene as Natasha, Black Widow. We hear Agent Hill, or what is it? Was it still Agent
Director
Hill or
Hill.
Director Hill, is screaming, "Do not let her off the helicarrier. Bring her down at all cost." And it's just
She's
a knockdown.
She's an enemy of Sheesh.
It's a not down, drag out fight as she bursts her way from the helicarrier down into the streets of New York and fighting with the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents the entire way. I mean, that is it in a nutshell. Actually, it's not a nutshell. That's a very complete and detailed breakdown of what goes on in this issue.
Yep.
So from the art and action standpoint, awesome. I loved it. Fantastic. Yeah. From the writing, I guess it's okay, too. I mean, there's not a lot of dialogue, but I mean, you have to describe the action. You have to say what's going on. You have to say, you know, cut to this wide shot of the helicarrier as a bomb explodes from the outside and we see Natasha falling. And it's, I guess, from the art side, Matthew, tell me if I'm wrong. Is this not, are they not referencing a lot of old Kirby designs? Because the helicarrier looks like one of the early designs. Of course, they've got the flying cars in this as well, and the jet packs, which all, I don't know if they've been using those a lot lately, but they sure as heck remind me of Kirby stuff.
There's a lot of retro S.H.I.E.L.D. Kirby and Starenko both in here. Mm-hmm. That flying car with the 13 on it is like pure Jim Starenko S.H.I.E.L.D. to me.
Okay. Well, I know that Lucille is a big deal in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV.
Lola.
Is that what it is, Lola? Okay.
Yeah, Lola is the flying car. Okay. Lucille was...
Chuck Berry's guitar.
King's guitar.
Oh, Barry BB King. There you go. Oh, Maybelline is the one that.
Yeah, Chuck Berry's guitars. Hey, it's your cousin Marvin.
Who?
Marvin Romanoff. You know that S.H.I.E.L.D. you've been wanting to betray?
Get a load of
Listen
this.
So behind every great moment in pop culture history, there's a cousin Marvin.
Yeah.
To point you the right way.
Yeah. So, this was really, you know, from an action standpoint, from an art standpoint, from a structural part of the story, really cool. But this is really just like the tip of the iceberg in this piece. We know nothing about what she stole, what it pertains to, or anything like that. But I want to get your impression of this issue.
I love it. And I think that what it really boils down to is there's kind of a misapprehension in comics that somehow either the penciler, the artist, or the writer does more of the heavy lifting. And I don't know that that's ever going to be a settled argument, but to have an issue like this that is really well put together, incredibly well, you know, scouted out, it's very cinematic. It's a gorgeous sequence. And what it really boils down to is Natasha just fell 40,000 feet while being pursued by SHIELD agents with jetpacks and flying cars. And by the end of the issue, what we've had is one of the most amazingly kinetic sequences of comics in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where there are going to be a lot of people reviewing this and going, well, the writer didn't have much to do.
Well, that is, I mean, so here's the thing. Since we were talking Kirby, there's an interesting thing about this, you know, kind of as we continue with these parallels, because oftentimes when we're looking at Ditko, Steranko, Kirby, when they're working at Marvel, you know, Stan Lee would say, hey, here's what's going on. Here's a one-page
synopsis. Go draw 26 pages.
And then I will add in all the other stuff as needed. So one could argue that could be going on here, but more than likely, because Samnee is co-credited as a writer, co-writer on
the
this
co-writer,
issue,
yeah.
He and Mark Waid, I think, really sat down and said, okay, well, if we're plotting this out, if we're telling this story, what are the actions? How do we tell this story that makes sense? And it may be Mark saying, hey, at one point, Natasha's falling. She wraps her legs around one of the SHIELD agents in his jetpack, gives him a kiss on the helmet, pulls his ripcord. And then she steals his jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
And now you go do that.
Yeah, this is incredibly well blocked and put together. This is one of probably the hardest issues to write and or draw that we've seen in a while, because you really can't when you have something that is a silent action sequence. You can't lean on a word balloon. You can't lean on a dialogue bubble. Your art has to be able to tell the story. And this really does work. This is a really amazing issue.
Yeah.
And there's a whole sequence where the flying car is coming down and you see the woman and you bear down and you see, I mean, you can follow it and see it as though it were a movie and you can follow through. And then, of course, Natasha leaps up, hits the ejector seat with the toe of her foot, which is an incredibly well-designed silent moment again. The pilot is ejected, and Natasha, by the way, still falling from 40,000 feet with no parachute, nothing to save her, immediately goes after the next guy and tries to figure out how she's going to survive. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I guess, again, Samnee's style is very unique, and we've talked about him before when he's done Rocketeer. And Daredevil.
Yeah.
And all the times we're loving that. His style is so unique. And I think it's so much, very much a throwback to classic art that we remember from 60s and 70s and today.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the
that
coloring.
Is the worst.
And then the coloring, all the reds, greens, and blues that permeate this issue. And that's your basic color palette are just perfect. I mean, they really work well. So the colorist deserves lots of kudos on this. Waid and Samnee deserve kudos for plotting out this sequence. And then Samnee deserves, you know, major credit for just, wow, man, that's all I can say.
And this is also very impressive from the perspective of, in some comics, having a main character who is a woman in a tight leotard type outfit would lend itself to, I don't want to call out names, but a Deodato shot. I just call it a name. I'm a jerk. That doesn't happen here. This is not made for the sexy. It's clear that she is in a fight for her life. And really, for me, the only thing that I dislike about this entire issue is the fact that three or four of the SHIELD agents following her look like big, brutal thug guys.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of the point, right?
Well, you know, there's the woman in the hijab driving the flying car. She's kind of cool looking. Mm-hmm. And then there's Amanda Waller on page 4.
Yeah.
Amanda Waller, of course, not having any work at DC anymore, has now moved over to Marvel and joined the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is well constructed and well put together as a sequence, as a story. And the best part is, even though all we really know coming into this issue, or rather exiting this issue, is the same we knew coming in.
Yeah.
Something at S.H.I.E.L.D. is bad. Natasha is the only one who has the truth. And now S.H.I.E.L.D. has branded her a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still really satisfied with this reading experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is a great issue of comics. And this is one of those moments where I think Wade tweeted today that people are congratulating him on the book, and they're like, you really have to give Chris his equal due. He is co-writer on this, co-creator.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of those books where if you had to break it down and say the art does X and the story does Y, it's going to be really hard.
Well,
because this is a synthesis of both, and it's fascinating to look at.
But I would say, as much as I like Mark Waid, though, majority of the work rests on Chris's shoulders.
I would say that he probably had the harder job, yes.
Yeah, but I think he did a fantastic job. This is just wonderful. I wish I had the funds to get that double page spread of the helicarrier over New York, because that's now my new favorite page. I wish we could get the art without the lettering, mm-hmm. just so I could make it a background on my desktop. It's so awesome. I mean, everything in this, I mean,
I can edit out the lettering. It'll be fine.
No, I could do that too if I wanted to, but.
I can edit the lettering. Whoa, well, fine. What are you asking me to do it for, Mr. Smarty Man?
Never asked you to do anything.
You just said, I hope I could have this. And I'm like, I could totally do it. And then all of a sudden I'm the jerk.
That's not me asking you to do anything.
I wonder, did they send us a preview?
There is a preview that we've had on the site, but I don't think we have any unlettered previews from early on.
Kind of a shame. That's a beautiful, beautiful.
It really is. It really is. And from top to bottom, this is of all the books that I've read this week, and I've read some ones that have some high
velocity.
Yeah. Rounds. They're very high preview, you know, hey, these are ones that people are going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This one is the best of the best. And I say, just get out there and grab it.
Yeah.
Grab it now. If you can.
This is the first issue of the book that people are going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When Wade and Samney launched their Daredevil run, oh God, was it 2011?
It was a while ago.
We're old. You know, 4 years ago when they launched their Daredevil run, everybody was like, oh, this is the best Daredevil since Frank Miller, which is, mm-hmm. of course, what they said about everybody else who's been on Daredevil. But this time it was true. And this is, I mean, this I think is going to be the game changer for Black Widow, that their run on Daredevil was for Matt Murdock. This is very solid.
Yeah,
I'm super excited about this book, man.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they would keep the dialogue to a minimum throughout the rest of the piece and make it kind of quiet.
For the whole arc?
Yeah, to make it kind of quiet. But I know that at some point there's going to be not a literal wall of text, but there has to be an explanation of what's going on, what she's trying to do, and how it's being resolved.
Literal wall of text.
And if they could do that in word balloons, in thought balloons.
Ooh, thought balloons, huh?
And have actual thought balloons on the page, because we so rarely get to see thought balloons anymore. We see thought boxes. But I kind of miss the thought balloon. But I have high hopes for this. I don't know if I think that it's the greatest thing since Daredevil, since their run on Daredevil, but it is certainly this opening issue. Takes a nice jab across the face at it and leaves it hurting. So I'd say go out and get it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it actually is.
Okay. Jabbed in the face does not sound good.
Well, if you are the underdog and you jab the bad guy in the face, that's actually pretty good. So there you go. Anything else you want to say on this? I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, there's this mystery of what did she steal? What's the big secret that the S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't want her to get out?
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
I think in some ways it's minimalist, but it's really, really good storytelling. And it's not a quick read either. I mean, I went through it and I came back through it, and each panel has something new to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a flying jaguar and guy who's bad and evil and being bad and evil.
Okay. First of all, that's not a Jaguar.
That's a Jaguar.
It's a Ferrari.
Dude, it's got a Jaguar logo on the front. It's a Jaguar.
No,
going, Arr, I'm a
it
Jaguar.
Does not. That is a Lamborghini.
Are you sure?
Is or it a Ferrari. Maybe it's a Ferrari, but it's not a Jaguar.
Look, dude, I drive a 1999 Ford Windstar. I don't know from that, Italian that sports cars.
Well, then. Yeah. It's,
Todd Holton, Super Green Beret. Let's talk about him. Oh, snap. We can't.
Sure we can. Green Beret.
Only I've ever heard of him.
Well, that's being elitist, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you were mean to me about the Lamborghini.
No, I was just pointing out that, hey, this, you're mistaken, and I didn't want people to jump all over you on the internet, as people often are when you make a mistake, because then I have to feel bad for you.
It looks like a Jaguar, though. It looks like a,
no, that's a
Jaguar
horse.
X type to me.
No, that is a horse.
Well, I'm not talking about the horse. I'm talking about the actual shape of the car. Maybe it's a one of those Ferraris that I don't know anything about.
Hmm.
An old school Lola Ferrari.
Yes, there you go.
Which is, that's what it is. It's an in-joke. It's a Lola Ferrari making a reference to Lola, the Corvette on the TV show. That's exactly what it is. Okay, good. I'm glad we talked this out. We're all on the same page now.
Your listeners, you can contact Matthew and tell him how he's wrong by reaching out to him at Mighty King Cobra on Twitter.
Don't tell me how I'm wrong. I had somebody try and correct me today about something, and I'm like, with respect, nope.
What do you mean?
Oh, I had a character in a list of 10 things that looked like another character and had a similar enough name that someone asked me, isn't this X character? And I'm like, no, this is a separate character who basically does the same thing. And it was a very nice, very polite exchange, and it turned out being good, and we all learned something. But, you know, it was one of those moments where sometimes I do my research. Is all I'm saying. By Black Widow.
Francesco Francavilla or Chris Samney?
Ooh, that's tough. I would go with Francavilla simply because I feel like I have a bigger list of Francavilla moments that I go, oh, these are awesome.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
It is, and I think that if you ask me that in a year or two after this whole run, maybe not. I mean, Francavilla has... There are similarities in their line work, but I feel like Francesco does more. Let's look at it this way: if you took them both and you said, "Okay, what are you going to draw for me?" I'd want Francesco Francavilla on Batman, dark and shadowy and moody, and I'd want Chris Samney on Power Man and Iron Fist, kind of a street level punchity. And then I'd put, Phil Jimenez while I'm up on Wonder Woman, because why not?
Yeah.
So, not that Phil Jimenez had anything to do with anything that we were talking about.
No, not even an option.
Well,
So big thumbs up for you. Everybody go out and buy this book this week.
Yeah, this is a rush right out in a buying frenzy, folks. This is a very, very good book.
Yeah. All right. Out from Dark Horse Comics next week, we have Alabaster, the Good, the Bad, and the Bird, #4. King Tiger, Son of the Dragon, which is a trade paperback. King's Road, #2. Massive, Ninth Wave, #4. It's Massive, Ninth Wave, #4. Not a Massive
Ninth
Wave.
It is Massive Ninth
Wave. Over at DC Comics, we have Action Comics, #50. Please note the price at $4.99. Mm-hmm. Batman Superman, #30 at $3.99. Catwoman, #50. All these 50s. Have $4.99 prices. Pretty. So if you're going out for Detective Comics #50, if you are looking at, I think that's it for the 50s next week. There's also the Dark Knight 3 Master Race #3 Collector's Edition, $12.99, and Starfire #10 coming out next week. Those are, and look, Telos. Hey, Telos, how you doing?
Telos, how you doing?
Yeah. IDW Publishing has Donald Duck #11, Drive #4, Gutter Magic #3. I really enjoyed that series so far. Luna the Vampire #3, Sherlock Holmes the 7% Solution trade paperback. You can get that all in one bundle for only $19.99. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Amazing Adventures number 8, and Victory City number 3 coming out from IDW Publishing. Image Comics has Blackjack Ketchum number 4.
Yeah, that's that new Pokemon thing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Ash Ketchum has grown up, and now he's a pirate named Blackjack Ketchum.
I see. Limbo number 5, Head Lopper number 3, Savage Dragon 212.
What's a head lopper?
Somebody that lops off your head, I imagine.
I don't want that.
Well, then you better keep your head down.
What?
Well, you don't want your head lopped off. Keep it down. Marvel Comics, Agent... I've just given you your greatest bit of safety advice. Anytime you're around somebody that's lopping off heads, keep your head down.
If they want to lop your head, don't let them lop your head.
Exactly. By keeping your head down.
The more you know.
Hey, someday you will thank me for this, Matthew.
I don't know. You say that a lot.
And all the time I'm getting thank yous from you. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 3, ASO. What is ASO?
I misheard that first word.
What is ASO?
Avengers Standoff.
Oh, that's right. Is that good? Have you read that?
I have not read that. I'm way behind on my Marvel stuff.
Okay. All New Wolverine number 6, Amazing Spider-Man number 9, Black Knight number 5.
That's
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy number 6, Haunted Mansion number 1. That's that new Disney Marvel book that's based on the Haunted Mansion ride there at Disney. Those are all scheduled to run about 6 issues. I think they did that with the Big Thunder Mountain and the Figment has gone on for a couple of different series. It's actually in its second volume right now. And I think that one went 12
Comics,
issues. It was popular
Thunder
enough.
Thunder Mountain Comics.
Infinity Entity number 1, Mighty Thor number 5, Mockingbird number 1, Thor's trade paperback. And then they have a bunch of True Believer things, which are just the $1 comics that are being reprinted, the first issue for $1. Not unlike Trinity, which is 3 issues for $3. Marvel Timely.
Right.
Where they're doing the 3 issues for $3.
So instead of 3 issues for $3, you get 1 issue for $1.
Right.
That's like one third the price.
Right. What a bargain. A bargain for me. I think I will take 3 of them. Adventure Time number 50 comes out. nerds, all of us. Bigfoot, Sword of the Earthman number 4, Classics
that
Illustrated.
Steve Austin in it?
Yes, rips off his hand, throws it away. Classics Illustrated trade paperback. You can have your choice, Matthew. You can have War of the Worlds, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Frankenstein, Last of the Mohicans, Moby Dick, Oliver Twist, Robinson Crusoe, Romeo and Juliet, Study in Scarlet, Three Musketeers, or The Time Machine. You've had all these, right? Haven't you had these when you were at the store and had to go through them all?
Oh, yeah. They are a mess. When it comes to Classics Illustrated, well, the problem was Gilberton reprinted Classics Illustrated just over and over and over.
Right.
But from 1948 to about 1962, they didn't redate the second and third and fourth printings. So they all have the original 1948 date. It is a schmoz.
But which one of those is the best one for people to go check out if they want to get some classic literature without having to read a classic book?
I'd say War of the Worlds. I think War of the Worlds has that Tony Tallarico art that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed that. What's the pirate one?
Yar. Long John Silver.
Long John Silver. That one is not in this list, which is good because I hated that book. A lot of people love that book, but man, I hated it.
There are 177 issues of the original Classics Illustrated.
Oh, so maybe more next week. But
well,
you know
I don't
Matthew?
Know if the trade paperbacks are just those or if
each
one of those trades has that title book and then some other.
I'm going to bet it's just that title book. Here's the one thing that is coming out next week. Cross
What's
Plus
that?
100 number 14. It's got a disastered cover. Not disaster cover, disastered cover.
You mean like disaster custard?
Nope, like disastered is what it says. Then there's also a wishful fiction cover, which, man, I don't know what any of that means.
Dude, you're a wishful fiction.
Sometimes I think I am. Devolution number 1, that gets a second printing. Disney Princess number 1. Doctor Who the 12th Doctor year 2 number 3. Doc Savage Spider's Web number 4. Imperium gets a trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Digger number 230.
I'm not saying she's a gold digger.
Ninjak number 13.
Ninjak.
Pre-code classic Avon Erie hardcover volume 1. That's $59.99.
Oh, that sounds good though.
Samurai number 1. I think that's from Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
SpongeBob comics number 54. The Troop number 4. And what is this?
Wasn't that an Iron Maiden album?
There's Tommy number 1. I do not think that that is a Power Rangers thing.
No, I think that's actually The Who.
That's what I was going to say. It's about a pinball wizard.
Right. Ever since he was a young boy.
Mm-hmm. He played the silver ball. Mm-hmm. From Soho down to Brighton.
Yeah, I think he must have played them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. And then finally, War Stories number 17. Those are some of the books coming out next week, including a reissue of Tommy, a spoken word album by yes. Matthew Peterson and Steven Schleicher.
Oh, that's funny.
Is it? Is it really? Yes, or is it the most brilliant idea that people would rush out and buy for $5.99?
Tina Turner as the Speed Queen. I'm in.
Yeah, me too. Next week on Dueling Review.
Mockingbird number 1, written by Chelsea Kane, art by Kate Nemechek. Because you demanded it. Now, in her own ongoing series, Bobby Morse is Mockingbird, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s most versatile, most in-demand agent. But a string of missions gone wrong indicate that something strange is lurking within S.H.I.E.L.D.'s own medical and recovery network. How far will Mockingbird have to go in order to solve this puzzle box and get to the truth? Best-selling author Chelsea Kane teams with newcomer Kate Nemechek on Mockingbird number 1.
Wow. I wonder if that has anything to do with Black Widow.
I wonder if it does. I know it has something to do with Mockingbird on TV, I'll tell you that.
There's something strange.
In your Mockingbird.
In your S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier.
Who you gonna call? Clint Barton!
If you enjoyed this episode, and I don't know why you would.
I don't either, but more power to you.
You can show your support.
For different folks, I guess.
You can show your support for this show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important person at members.majorspoilers.com. Please sign up today. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pays for our growing costs, and gives us the motivation to produce more content for you week after week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you'll hear Matthew say,
Hey, Hugh! Wait, I said that last month. No, I have a new one. Are you ready?
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.